Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Vincent O'Brien. How are you, Vincent?
Not too bad, thanks, Chris.
Excellent, excellent. You work at Octavian, you're the managing director at Octavian here, so that's pretty good.
I am.
Octavian, some of the listeners will definitely know what you guys do, but you deal with wine. What exactly do you do here at Octavian? Or not yourself, but what does Octavian do?
Well, we store mainly fine wines in our underground facility in Wiltshire. We've actually also got two above-ground facilities now in Wiltshire as well. We've been in existence for just over 26 years, founded by Nigel Jagger and his family. They bought the site from the MOD back in 26 years ago and developed it into what we'd like to think is the foremost wine storage facility in the world.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we've done an interview with Crown Cellars, and but they might argue the difference. But
it's all a matter of interpretation.
Strangely enough, though, same sort of thing. It was Crown Cellars is an old ammo dump in Hong Kong, and the MOD was an old ammo dump here, wasn't it?
It was, and before that, it was used for Bath Stone, so a lot of the local houses. And I think one of the mayoral buildings in Cape Town was built with stone from here as well.
Oh, so, really?
So I keep finding new history about the place as I go through the years here, and especially with the planning application we've been going through, we've been finding lots of history going on as well. So
really, we're actually going to talk a wee bit about planning and all that sort of stuff later on, but. You said you guys do fine wine storage. What exactly does that entail? What does it mean?
We take in cases of fine wine for our customers. We retain it for them, making sure that it's held in pristine condition. And then when they're ready to take delivery, we deliver it back out to them. And for some customers, it could be a matter of weeks. For other customers, it can be a matter of years before they take delivery from it.
And is it trade customers or private?
We have a mixture of both. We have trade and we have private, and some of those trade customers have their own private customers as well. So it's a good mixture. So we see a lot of different tastes and different requirements.
Okay. It's quite expensive normally to store wines with places. Is it mainly fine wines you deal with, or do you get sort of Chateau de average?
It's mainly fine wines. We do have some wines of a lesser value, but we treat them all equally. For us, it's about providing the service. We let the connoisseurs decide which type of wine they want to have here. But, you know, for us, it's about providing the service at the price that we stay and basically making sure that the wine that arrives here goes out in as good a condition as possible.
We actually had a look down at one small segment of the cellar earlier, and it does look quite big and quite large and easy to get lost in. It's quite a maze. It makes a labyrinth look.
Yeah, it is quite big. You know, I'm still not trusted to go down alone at the moment.
But, really?
they're afraid I might get lost. It is quite big, and you know, we make sure that basically all the stock is labelled accurately and correctly so that it's easily identifiable. We've got barcodes in place and our staff are trained. You know, we don't allow anyone, any new member of staff to be alone within the first month to make sure that they're fully acquainted with their environment, which also adds to, you know, the value that we're trying to deliver to our customers.
Yeah, I had a look around and when we were down there, and I noticed an awful lot of Bordeaux down there. This, you know, is like who's who of fine wines, really. Is it mainly Bordeaux, or do you get all sorts of stuff?
We do get a mixture. You know, we find that the Italian and German wines are on the increase, but we're just about to take in the 2010 vintages, so the Bordeaux will be arriving very soon.
Yeah, yeah, and it looked fairly full. I wouldn't say you're absolutely filled to the gunnels, but given that you can't sort of put people's wines together and that, they seem to be almost like, your systems, you've got racking and then you've got pallets, and the pallets sort of represent customers, is it, or groups of customers?
It can be groups of customers. You know, really we use the rotation labels and the barcodes to identify stock for customers. So really, you know, we want to minimize risk, so we don't want to be moving stock unnecessarily where we can, because every movement introduces risk and vibration and so forth. So really we try and assemble customer stocks as closely together as we can but you know, sometimes that isn't as possible as we would like, so we'll work around that. But really, it's about mitigating risk and making sure that it's held in as pristine and value and condition as possible.
You're underground here. What do you think the key advantages from a wine storage thing is, being underground?
I think there's the tradition. A lot of people are comfortable. You know, wine has been stored underground for many, many years. I think it also has a little bit of romance around it as well.
Yeah. Visions of the old cellar and the castle.
It's what a lot of people would project the vision of storing wine would be. And we meet that. We've done it for many years as well, so we've got the expertise of handling it underground. The conditions are stable, and there's no ultraviolet light, there's no vibration, and the humidity is basically perfect as well for the storage of wine. And you know, the demand that we have for our services prove that what we're doing is correct, and the fact that we're looking for other spaces shows that, you know, people are comfortable with what we've done.
Just a bit about yourself there, Vincent. How long have you been with Octavian?
I started with Sir Octavian 4 years ago now. I started in as the finance director and helped sell the business last April now, where we decided to retreat back out of the logistics and concentrate on the fine wine side. And we'd got to a crossroads where we needed to invest in both parts of the business, and it just seemed sensible to invest more in the fine wine side. So we found an investor, and we sold the logistics part, and now investing in the fine wine side with the new warehouse that we have in Killearn, and also the planning application that we have for the above ground warehouse here in Corsham.
So just on that, so you were doing a lot of logistics. Was it what element is the logistics?
It was more fast moving stock. You know, we had the likes of Red Bull, Treasury, Wine Estate, so it was more bulk pallet movements rather than bottle picking and case movements. So it was complementary, but not really where we want to focus. Not more economies of scale and stuff like that.
Why did you decide to go out of... What was the advantage of storage versus logistics?
The business was formed from Corsham, and the owner has always had a very clear affinity with Corsham. And also, we'd got to a crossroads where we needed to really invest in both sides to keep abreast with all of the developments that are going on within the industry. And we felt that it was more prudent to invest in the fine wine side, because it was where the tradition of the company is from. It's where we feel we've got a notable market lead, certainly within the UK, and that we've got a high demand for our services. So it just made sense for us.
Okay, and I suppose logistics, not the thing about logistics, you're competing with the likes of Halliburton. Not Halliburton.
Competing with Kuehne+Nagel, DHL and the like, you know, and it does come down to a lot of economies of scale, having the size to be able to compete, to drive the pricing that the customers need, and also what the supermarkets are expecting, you know. They want consolidated loads and stuff like that. So it was becoming a very condensed marketplace. And it just made the right... looked like the right decision at the right time.
Okay, well, we'll see in the next 5 years. That's the great thing about retrospect, isn't it? You talked about expansion or building some more warehousing, and you've applied for planning permission, or about to apply for planning permission here, but you're not looking to go underground. What are the sort of pros and cons of underground versus overground storage? You know, what are the things there?
Well, I think, you know, we did look to see if we could get any viable options underground, and both Nigel, the owner, and Laurie, who my predecessor had looked over the last few years, but they couldn't find anything that was economically viable or anything that was really in a fit state that you could take on. We were very lucky when we took on the warehouse here. The MOD had invested and done a lot of work, and it was still in a good condition when we took it over. It still needed
It's a hole in the ground, though, isn't it? What sort of investment do you need to put into a hole in the ground?
The ventilation, the humidity, the fans, electrics. You know, to do all of that, you know, would cost an awful lot of money. And also, you know, the access points. You're moving very pristine cases of wine around. You don't want any potholes in the road or any uneven surfaces. You want the train to be able to run and function very correctly, and you just want to mitigate any of those types of risks, because, you know, a drop could end up costing you 120 grand very easily. So you have to take all of those types of things into consideration. Being below ground does have its advantages, because you know the temperature and humidity is fairly constant. It still does need some man-made interventions, but it's not needed on a continual basis.
I guess you got electricity savings there.
Yeah, but you know, there are challenges being underground. You know, you've got the health and safety challenges, you've got the mine inspectorate challenge, you know, there's the logistics of getting things up and down.
I've never seen so many fire inspectors when we went underground. It was like you were just passed from fire safety men to fire safety men.
Well, you know, we take safety quite important underground, as you can imagine, and our record speaks for itself. We've never had any major incidents underground. So we make sure that prevention is the best course of action to take. So we do invest in that and spend time making sure that's okay. So really, after looking at the scene, if there's any viable alternatives underground, we've been left with the choice of basically having something above ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that in Killearn. We opened up a new site. It's in August, September now. And that's got humidity and temperature controlled. So has a temperature range of 1 degree, 13 to 14 degrees, and you know it's practically full now. So the demand and the for our services is there. People have accepted that we've got the expertise to be able to manage a warehouse like that as well. And demand, as I said, is still growing. We've got the 2010s coming in, so space is becoming a little bit of a challenge. So looking with an eye to the future, we put in a planning application for above ground here.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll hear within the next month or so whether that's been successful or not.
Do customers prefer underground, overground, wumbling free? You
know? I think customers, some customers differ. Some like to be above ground, some like to be below ground. I think in some ways we've done such a good job selling our image of being below ground that we've got it in people's mind that that's the place to be. And you know, while it is, what we're saying is there are advantages for being above ground as well.
What are the advantages of being above ground?
It's hard to actually strip them out, I suppose, because both of them have similar challenges. You're moving stock from A to B. The risks are equal in both. Both of them have man-made intervention for temperature and humidity control. Underground is a little bit less. I think people have got very used to being below ground. So if you've been below ground for 20 years, to now be above ground is probably a little bit of a change and a challenge. So, you know, it's up to us to basically get people more comfortable with that. And I suppose that's one of the biggest challenges that we have.
If I came to Octavian and said, I want you to store my wine, can I say, I want it underground, I insist on it being underground? Or do you just choose based?
We would basically look at what space we have available and then, you know, make a decision on that and inform the customer what was available.
Obviously, if it's a massive customer, you can't squeeze them in then.
It's, you know, we've got to, you know, we're limited through health and safety rules of what we can fit down below, and we're near capacity down below. You know, we've got a little bit of movement going on, as you said. We're not completely full, so we've got some spare capacity, but you know, we've got a lot of that penciled in already. So really, we're looking at people to be above ground at the moment.
How many cases can you fit down below ground?
Well, I think if you ask me and you ask some of the operators, it'd be two different figures.
you're saying an unlimited amount.
We're looking to get about 760,000, 770,000 in below ground.
Mm-hmm. And how many have you got at the moment?
Not too far off. So, yeah. But overall, we've got, you know, with the warehouses that we've got about of just over a million cases capacity.
That's a lot of wine to drink, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Vincent. But we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers, bud.